Okay, so we're on page 5. And on volume 4, November 8th, 1900. And we just got done with Eda, the trial of Eden. Okay. So she gives back to the soul her original state, that is, the way she was created by God in original justice before being cast out of terrestrial Eden. So that's where we're going. And this is what God is asking of us, is to get ready to live back in the terrestrial Eden. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm here, I can't do that. And God says, fine. Fine. Well, I will give you what you want. Where do you want to live? Okay, now if we say, I want to return to the terrestrial Eden. I want to live in the kingdom of God. God says, fine, that's what I will give you. So this is what it says. So in the sublime state, the soul feels strongly drawn to everything that is good. See, that's where we want to go. The soul feels all that is good, all is holy, all is perfect, as inborn within herself. So again, one of the things that Scripture tells us is that we have to begin not to live negatively. Okay? What we project is basically where we're going to go. So if we are in a negative attitude, don't expect heaven. Jesus says that. If you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, you're anticipating hell. If you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, you're anticipating heaven. So, listen to what it says. In this sublime state of wanting to re-enter into the terrestrial Eden, wanting to go back to God, everything is good, everything is holy, everything is perfect, as inborn within herself. And the greatest honor, even the greatest shadow, and the greatest horror is even at a shadow of evil. So, right now, people are very upset, especially on the internet, and television, radio, newspaper, magazines, especially with the news, because it's certainly not the good news. They're going against the church, they're kind of bringing up all sorts of evil of the Vatican, all sorts of terrible things, all sorts of horrendous accusations. And there's only one accuser, and that is the devil. And our responsibility is to get away from that, to fight our evil impulses, to fight the shadow of evil that's all around us. Everything has to be good. Everything has to be holy. Everything has to be perfect in our life. How do you do that? Fiat. Something goes wrong, fiat. Somebody says something bad about you, fiat. It's just fiat. And again, as you begin to live that, your greatest horror is the slightest part of evil. With this happy nature, okay, this is heaven, receive the most experienced hand, where? From the hand of obedience. The soul no longer finds difficulty in executing the commands received. Fiat. Everything is fiat. It's not to fight. It's to surrender. Let it be done as you say. Even more so, since the one who commands must always command what is good. Okay? And here is how obedience knows how to imprint well the divine image. Not only this, but she changes the human nature into divine. Because just as God is good, God is holy, God is most perfect, all tends to all that is good and greatly hates evil. So does obedience, having the virtue of divinizing the human nature, of making it acquire the divine qualities. See, it's not just to be good and holy and saintly anymore. God wants us to share in his divinity, to have divine qualities. So, the more the soul lets herself be handled by this most experienced hand of obedience, the more of the divine steps she acquires, the more the divine she acquires, destroying her own being. Okay, so our rebellious nature is always to fight, always to say, no, I will not obey, I will not serve. That's the devil. And what we have to say is fiat. Let it be done as you say. We look at everything as coming from the hands of God. This is why holy obedience is so glorified and honored, so much so that I, Jesus, myself, submitted to holy obedience and was honored and glorified by this obedience. through her obedience, I, Jesus, gave back honor and glory to all my children, which they had lost because of Adam's disobedience. Okay, so what does the church say? Keep holy the Sabbath. That means you don't shop. That means you don't waste Sunday as your day. I just heard for this past week, the first day of the weekend, Saturday. What do you mean? Saturday and Sunday are the same? That's what they're saying now. The first day of the weekend, Saturday. That means Sunday is Saturday, the second day of the weekend. Now, that's wrong. Sunday is God's day. Sunday is holy. Now, that's just obedience to God, keeping holy the Sabbath. Now, what do you have on Sunday? Golf, tennis, all the basketball, football, soccer, hockey. It's everything that the children are involved in. You know, one of the worst problems that we as Catholics had back in the 50s and 60s was CYO, where Sunday was a day of sports. And because of that, it was very easy to then shop on Sunday. It's very easy to go out to dinner on Sunday. And okay, oh, well, I don't want to cook. I'm going to take the day off. Well, you're making other people leave their home and work on Sunday. You know, our job is to keep holy the Sabbath. You know, if you need gas, you buy it on Saturday. But Sunday, the gas is cheaper. I mean, they want you to go against the Sabbath. Again, that's just one aspect of being a Catholic. You keep holy the Sabbath. You don't go to Mass on Saturday night so you can have Sunday off. That's not what Saturday night Mass is all about. Saturday evening Mass is for the doctors, the lawyer, not doctors, the doctors, the policemen, the firemen, who work all day Sunday, protecting us, helping us. That's why Saturday evening Mass is there. It's not to make Sunday my second day of the weekend. See, we have to get back to being Catholic. We have to get back to being obedient. And if we are obedient, God is going to bless us. If we are in disobedience, then we have to be punished. We have to be punished because we're breaking God's day. So when things start going wrong and you start blaming God, you got to look back at your own life. What have you done that was wrong? Like I said before, there's sin begets sin. And when you sin, there are earthquakes. That's sin affects creation. Not only humans, it affects all of creation. So when we continue to kill babies through abortion, I mean, what do we expect? People are blind. That's what it says. Scripture says people are blind to the truth because of sin. 54% of Catholics voted for Obama. Blind to sin. He said, I will kill babies. Well, I'm voting for him. He's going to put money in my pocket. How foolish. We deserve to be punished. And again, this is the second time. And it's going to be far worse, let me clue you, because he is killing more babies throughout the world than anybody else. All the money that I know people that have stopped paying their what do you call it?
Income tax.
And they will go to jail because they're saying, I am not going to support baby killing with my money. I mean, who is that brave today? Now, one of the reasons we sing this is because, remember that video that came out of everybody going up to be beheaded because of their faith? This is the song they sang. We have to know this song. It's not just to come, Holy Spirit. It's come, Holy Spirit, I'm ready to die. Because I will be faithful to you, obedient to you. Again, it's what's coming is going to be horrible. I can guarantee you. But if we are with God, it's fiat. And if we are with God, there is no problem. God will take care of us. I can guarantee you. Jesus says the survivors will be living in the divine will. Again, you have to see what's coming is cosmic. it's not just a bad president. It's not just a bad economy. It's not just an earthquake. It's not just a flood. Jesus says this has never been seen before and will never be seen again. As a matter of fact, we pray in the Our Father. The last verse of the Our Father, and lead us not into temptation. Another translation is, lead us not to the day of evil. That's scripture. Jesus says, it's going to be so bad, you must pray, and we've been praying for 2,000 years, let us not be presented with the day of evil. Because even the elect will be almost completely eliminated by the evil that's coming. And that's why God is going to give us the illumination. He's going to give us a chance. Those that love God, those that want to love God, but those that hate God, they can't be here. It's the rapture in reverse. The Protestant rapture is all the good are going to go. Well, that's, the Catholics say no, it's the rapture in reverse. All the bad is going to go. That's what happened with the time of Noah. All the bad, those that interbred with the Nephilim, whatever that means, were gone. So God has got great plans for us, but we've got to become obedient. We've got to become faithful. We've got to keep holy the Sabbath. That's just one aspect. Keep holy the Sabbath. You know, pray your rosary every day. It's the weapon of choice. I know a lot of people like AR-15s, but the weapon of choice for us is the Holy Rosary. Volume 4, April 19th, 1901. Now, while Louisa was in this state, Jesus made himself seen for a short instant, and he told me, since grace is part of me, and as you, Louisa, possess it, with reason, by strict necessity, everything that forms your being cannot be without me, Jesus. So here we see Jesus again saying, you want to know where I am? Go to Louisa. Again, she's the newborn. She's the mother of the second generation of the children of light. Since this is the reason why everything asks you, Louisa, for me, and you are tortured continuously, since you, Louisa, are soaked with me and filled with part of me, only when they possess me, not only in part but completely, do they find the peace and remain content. Now, that's why what is coming is going to be awful. But Jesus says the chastisement will have little or no effect upon those living in the divine will. Why? Because we will find our peace and remain content no matter what we face. Even if it's being beheaded. We sing Veni Creator Spiritus, knowing that we're going to the kingdom. I mean, it's God is going to take care of us. And as I lamented about my hard position, he added, Jesus, I too experienced extreme abandonment in the course of my passion. Even though my most holy divine will was always united to the Father and with the Holy Spirit, I, Jesus, wanted to suffer this in order to divinize the cross completely. So much so that in looking at me and looking at the cross, you, Luis, will find the same splendor, the same lessons, the same mirror in which you, Luisa, can reflect yourself continuously with no difference between the two. So Jesus has divinized the cross, and when we look at Jesus on the cross, we see Jesus in the Eucharist, we see Jesus in the cross, it's the same. He is the one who suffered. And that suffering is redemptive. And he allows us to suffer in order to be with him on the cross. Volume 5, 10, October, thank you, 3rd, 1903. My daughter Louisa, in the act of blessing my mother Mary, I, Jesus, also intended to bless each creature individually and all in general, in such a way that everything is blessed by me, thoughts, words, heartbeats, steps, movements made for me. So again, he's showing Louisa what he's calling us to. Every thought, every word, every heartbeat, every step, every movement is made for God. Everything has been given a value by my blessing. Even more, I, Jesus, tell you, Louisa, that everything good that the creatures do was all done by my most holy humanity so that all the works of creatures might first be divinized by me. So what the Lord is asking us is not only to be good and saintly. He's saying to Louisa, now you have to begin to be divinized. This is why that fine print in the first part of this, read this in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Let Pope John Paul II, Blessed John Paul II, teach you how important this divinization is. Furthermore, my life, real and true, still continues in the world, and not only in the most blessed sacrament, but in all the souls who are in my grace, okay, in the state of grace. And since the capacity of the creature is very limited, one of them alone is unable to grasp everything that I, Jesus, did. I, Jesus, act in such a way as to continue my reparation in one soul, praise in another, thanksgiving in another, and some others my zeal for the salvation of souls in another, and another my suffering, and so with all the rest. According to how they correspond to me, I, Jesus, carry out my divine life within them. Therefore, think of what constraints and pains they put into me, Jesus, while I want to operate in them. They do not pay attention to me. Having said this, he disappeared. And then Louisa finds herself inside herself again. So Jesus is saying what he has done in the course of the year is to work in each soul in a saintly manner. Okay? In one, have reparation, in another, praise. In another, this is our uniqueness. And this is what makes us saints. But what Jesus is going to do is he wants everything in us. Not just one person praising God. Not just another person thanksgiving to God. Not another person with the zeal for salvation. Not another soul with suffering. What God is giving us is himself. He's going to divinize us. So he's telling us right now, again, and I think it's in volume 5, that this is holy. This is saint. This is what it means to become a saint. Later on, he says, I don't want that anymore. I want you now to possess me totally. Can you imagine? Volume 6, December 22nd, 1903. As I was in my usual state, my adorable Jesus came as crucified, and as he shared his pains with me, and while I suffered, he told me. Again, Luis is being crucified at this point. He says to Luis, I will crucify you daily. Again, that's why he says, Luis, my mother is on my right because no one has suffered more than my mother next to me. And he says, Luisa, you are on my left because there's no one who suffered more than you next to my mother. So the three that suffer the most, Jesus, Mary, and Luisa, we have to understand that. In the Old Testament, God gave us Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. In the New Testament, he gave us Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And now in the new era, he's given us Jesus, Mary, and Luisa. We have to understand, it's not saying to St. Joseph, we don't want you. It's God is giving us something even greater now. You see, Joseph was not the child of God. Joseph wasn't a daughter of, a son of Mary. He wasn't a son of Jesus. He was the foster father of Jesus. He was the spouse of Mary. So what's happening here is Joseph did not have, if you want to say, the DNA of Jesus and Mary. Joseph wasn't a son of Mary. And now what God wants is he wants us to possess this life of the new Adam and the new Eve. So that's why when you get to know who Luisa is, it's always Jesus, Mary, and Jesus, Mary, and Luisa. Volume 6, okay. My daughter Luisa, in the creation, I, Jesus, gave my image to the soul. In the incarnation, I, Jesus, gave my divinity, divinizing humanity. And since in the very act, in this very instant in which the divinity incarnated itself in humanity, it incarnated itself in the cross in such a way that from the moment I, Jesus, was conceived, I, Jesus, was conceived united with the cross. It can be said that just as my cross was united with me in the incarnation, which I did in the womb of my mother Mary, so does my cross form as many other incarnations of mine in the wombs of souls. See, we are called, this is great, like Mary, to conceive Jesus. I mean, can you imagine? He wants to be incarnated in us. Not the way Mary, Our Lady, physically, but spiritually. And just as the cross forms my incarnation in souls, the cross is the incarnation of the soul in God, destroying in her everything that gives of nature and filling the soul with divinity so much as to form a sort of incarnation, God in the soul and the soul in God. How amazing this is. Now, what saint taught us this? No saint. Because it wasn't time. This is why the church is looking at this and going, yes, it's true, but who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she that God is saying this to her? Is it really true what Jesus is saying? I was going to bring today the book we have on the titles of Louisa. It's, what is it, 289 pages? Single space? 289 pages of the titles. I remember we were giving back in the 90s, we were saying something about, we had 14 pages of the titles of Louisa. And two people left our prayer group after that. You have more titles to Louisa than to the Blessed Mother. I went, well, Jesus has all the titles in the world. Our Lady is the Mother of God. She has all of Jesus' titles. Now there's this newborn, and God is really giving us a glimpse of what we are going to receive. Again, we're nothing. We're dirt. We're dust. God breathed into us through Adam. And then he breathed on the apostles at the resurrection. He wants us to share in his divinity. When we receive Holy Communion, God is alive in us. God, we become a living tabernacle, just like Mary. She was a living tabernacle. I mean, who could ever imagine what God has got planned for us? And all that he asks of us to do is give our fiat. Lord, let it be done as you say. Not to hinder what God wants, but letting God have his way with us. Do with me as you wish. I am the, as Our Lady said, the humble slave girl. I have no rights. Let it be done as you say. Total submission, total docility, total surrender. Isn't this great? I mean, that's why he's saying, what's coming is God in the soul and the soul in God. And I remained as though enchanted on hearing that the cross is the incarnation of the soul in God. And Jesus repeats, see, this is why Louisa loved the cross. She loved to be crucified. Remember when Aunt Rosaria came into the room a number of times, as Father Bucci says, and her whole bed was covered with blood. The floor was covered with blood. And why? Because Louisa says, I don't want anybody to see this. But Jesus allowed Aunt Rosaria to see it. Then Aunt Rosaria panicked, always panicked, ran, grabbed a whole bunch of cloths, came back into the room, and there's no blood. But she saw the crucifixion, and she wrote it down for us to know. Louisa had the invisible stigmata. She was crucified by Jesus over and over and over again. Now, why? Why would you do that to a little girl? Why would God do this? Crucify this little one, this newborn, over and over and over again. Because when the Father finds someone that loves his son, he says, I want you to be like my son. How do we become like God? Through suffering. Through the crucifixion. Like I said before, everybody here is suffering. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. Some way we're suffering. Some of them, two or three. Some of them, all of them. And what do we do with that cross, that our life, but fiat? Let it be done as you say. Total surrender to God. You want me to be crucified? I want to be crucified. Now what happens here is, I heard this and I was enchanted at hearing that the cross is the incarnation of the soul in God. And then Jesus said, I am. Not saying union, but incarnation. Because the cross penetrates so much into the soul's nature as to make the soul's nature itself become suffering. This is why this euthanasia is going on. People would rather kill a human than let them suffer. Why? Because they don't believe in Jesus. They don't want to believe that suffering is redemptive. And where is the suffering? There is in God, as God and suffering cannot be apart. See, again, the saints tell us this, that when we get to heaven, we will see a suffering, crucified God. That's what we're going to see. I mean, that's our God, a suffering, crucified God. He did not have to do this. But he loves us so much that he took upon himself our sinfulness. He shed every drop of his blood so that we would be washed clean. He says, On the other hand, through union, okay, this is what the saints taught, union. The separation could easily occur. It is understood always that this is not the incarnation, but a simile of the incarnation. So again, what the saints have taught us over the years is to be in union with God, to be one with God, but not to have the incarnation of God in us and us in God. See, that's why. Why did God breathe into dirt? Why did he breathe into earth, dust? Because he wanted to see divine life. He can produce divine life. So even though we are human and creatures, we share in divinity. And that's what our God is calling us to. So again, don't limit God to your human understanding. Let the Lord show you what he's calling you to. And it's this gift of the divine will is everything that you could ever want. I talked to this one priest, he was 90 years old, and I was talking to him about the divine will, and he says, I've been waiting for this all my life. He saw what the divine will was. I've been waiting for this all my life. Again, the Lord is going to, he's going to bring about such beautiful things as to astonish us for, like she says, astonish us for all eternity. Volume 6, November 17th, 1904. Having received Holy Communion, I was thinking about the benignity of our Lord in himself, giving himself as food to such a poor creature as I am, and about how I could correspond to such a great favor. And while I was thinking of this, Blessed Jesus told me, my daughter Louisa, just as I, Jesus, make myself food for the creature through the Holy Eucharist, so that the creature could make herself food, my food. So that the creature makes herself my food. See, it's possessing God and God possessing us. He gives us himself, we give him ourselves. He becomes our food, we become his food. At the incarnation, when Christ is born, we hold him. We hold God. And then God holds us. You know, this is mutual. It's a mutual possession that God wants. God isn't 1,000,000,000 miles away. He's right with us, breathing in our breathing, beating in our heart beating. When you say that to Jesus and hear your heart beating, you got to praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you're beating in my heartbeat. I'm not doing this anymore. You're breathing in my breathing. I'm not doing this anymore. This oneness with God is so important that he's calling us really to begin to live this abundant life. I mean, nothing less than that. So Jesus says, okay, converting all of her interior into nourishment for Jesus, for God, in such a way that her thoughts become food, her affections become food, her desires become food, her inclinations become food, her heartbeats become food, her sighs become food, her love become food, everything should tend toward me. I mean, we say that when we see a little baby. I could just eat you up. I hear, you're so cute, I could just eat you up. I mean, people, this is so natural that God, he wants us to be his food. Because he's our food. And I, Jesus, on seeing that true fruit of my food, which is to divinize the soul and convert everything within myself, would come to nourish myself with the soul, that is, with her thoughts, with her love, and all the rest. See, it's what God sees in us is himself. And only God is beautiful. God is so beautiful. God is so holy. God is so perfect that when he sees a soul living in his holy divine will, he sees himself and the love that is there. See, God loves himself because he's so perfect. He's so beautiful. I mean, that's the explanation of the Holy Trinity. The Father looking at himself sees the Son. And the Son loving the Father loving the Son is the Holy Spirit. Three persons, three distinct persons in one God. And that's, and then when God breathes into Adam, why? He wants to see himself in that which is a creature. Image and likeness. Again, this is just completely astonishing what God is doing. In this way, the soul, Louisa, could say to me, just as you, Jesus, have reached the point of making yourself my food, of giving me everything, I, too, have made myself your food. There is nothing left to give you, Jesus, because everything I am is all yours. Total surrender, total docility, total submission, three words that are hated today. Three words that are despised today. Volume 6, November 29th, 1904. This morning I was offering all the actions of the humanity of our Lord to repair for so many of our human actions, either carelessly done without a supernatural purpose or sinfulness, in order to impetrate all the creatures might do to do their actions with the intentions of actions of Blessed Jesus and in union with them, and to fill the void of glory that the creature would give God if she did so. Oh, carelessly done. Okay. And while I was doing this, my adorable Jesus told me, my daughter Louisa, my divinity and my holy humanity descended into the deepest abysses of all human humiliations. So much so that there was no human act as lowly and little as it might be, which I, Jesus, did not divinize and sanctify. So, because of Adam's sin, God had to come to earth to change all our acts. Every heartbeat, every breath, every blink of the eye, every sigh, every step. He wants to change all of it. No matter how little it was, I, God, divinized and sanctified. Okay, what's he doing? He's getting us ready to re-enter into this divine life. So why did God redeem us? So that we can continue to live like this? I don't think so. He divinized us so that we can begin to learn how to live a divine life. That's why, you know, read again what Blessed John Paul II II said. And this in order to give back to man double sovereignty. Okay, listen to me. Double sovereignty. Not only sovereignty, but double. The one he lost in creation and the one I, Jesus, acquired for him in redemption. So, the round of redemption, round of sanctification that we're due every day is what God breathed into Adam and what Jesus breathed into the apostles. Creation or redemption? Again, we have to understand it's not just to live a nice life on earth. It's to live a divine life in heaven. And so we have to begin to live that now. But man, always ungrateful and the enemy of himself, who loves to be a slave rather than a sovereign, with a means so easy, that is, with the intentions and actions united to mind, he could render his actions deserving of divine merit, but he wastes them and loses the device of king and of sovereignty over himself. See, Adam was king. He was king of the earth, lord of the earth. That's what God breathed into him. And when he fell, Jesus came as Christ the king of kings. To why? To give back to man his sovereignty. To give man back to man his kingship. And so again, we have to begin to live this life. And after said this, he disappeared. I find myself inside of myself. Okay, so what does that mean? It basically, she was with God, not with a vision, not with an apparition, not with a locution. That's for humans. That's for saints. What Louisa possesses is to enter into that beatific vision. Okay? Now, this is why when Jesus doesn't show up, she says, I can't live anymore. Why? Jesus was her life. You look at the visionaries around the world, they continue to live a life. They love to see apparitions and visions, and it's nice to hear, you know, Jesus and Mary, but they continue to live. There's no real sorrow. With Louisa, Jesus was her life. And when he wasn't around, when he couldn't see her, she was living dead. She says, I can't take this. We're not like that. We go to Holy Communion. You know, how many of us are in ecstasy after receiving Holy Communion? How many of us, when we sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament and look at Jesus and the monstrance, are our hearts on fire with love? I mean, that's what God is calling us to begin to see him as he is. Volume 7, February 12, 1906. My daughter Louisa, all the other virtues in the creatures build a wall of certain height, but the wall of the soul who lives in divine will is a wall so high and deep that neither its depth nor its height can be found. Okay, so here is a completely new completely new life. Not like the saints. Also, it is all pure and solid gold, not subject to any misfortunes, because since this wall is in the divine volition, that is in God, that's what the divine volition is, God himself keeps this wall. And there is no power, no enemy, no devil that can defy God. So you're protected, completely protected from the evil one. And the soul, while living in the divine volition, is clothed with the divine light. See, Adam was naked. He lost the clothing of light. He lost the clothing of divinity. We're all similar to the one God in whom she lives, so much so that also in heaven, this soul will shine more than all the others. Why? In such a way as to be an occasion of greater glory even for the saints. So again, that's what we said. You know, the saints, Jesus says, are like stars at night in darkness with beautiful specks of light in the sky. How beautiful that is. But Louisa, you are a sun at high noon, giving light and life to everyone and to everything, eclipsing the stars. See that? St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days there will be the greatest saints in the history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's the souls living in the divine will. That's what God is calling us to possess. We have to understand this is not devotional. It's not something that you pick up and read every now and then. It's to live it. So people say, well, I chose the way I want to live. Well, this isn't choosing the way to live. It's living the life of God. This is what our God is giving us. It has not been seen by any of the saints. The saints had a holy life, a saintly life, a good life, a devotional life. This is the life of God, as God breathed into Adam. To walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening, to have a perennial communion with God. So for the last 2,000 years, we've had the Blessed Sacrament, where for 15 minutes, God is alive in our souls. Jesus, afterwards, he is there in the Holy of Holies of our soul. And why? To get us ready to go back to that perennial communion with God. Never to be separated from God again. How fortunate we are to be Catholic. How fortunate we are to have the Holy Mass. And what God is going to bring about, a pure gold, solid gold, not subject to any misfortune, because since the wall is in the divine volition, it is in God himself. And he says right here, and there's no power that can defy God. The devil flees from you. This is why perfection is so important. Well, who can be perfect? God wants us to be perfect. He said that. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so God is calling us. He didn't say try to be perfect. He says be perfect. So, the soul living in this divine volition is clothed with a divine light similar to the one God whom she lives, so much so that also in heaven she will shine more than all the other saints in such a way as to be an occasion of greater glory for the very saints. Oh, my daughter Louisa, think a little bit about what an atmosphere of peace and goods the mere words will of God contains. You have to understand, this divine will, when Jesus says he goes into ecstasy when he hears souls talk about it, because it's about himself. That the mere thought of wanting to live in this atmosphere, the soul feels already changed. She feels a divine air investing her. She feels her human being being dissolved. She feels divinized from the impatient to patient, from the proud to be humble, from the docile to be charitable, from the obedient, and some from the poor to become rich. All the other virtues rise to surround like a crown this high wall which has no boundaries, because since God has acquired no boundaries, has no boundaries, the soul is to be dissolved within God. The soul loses her own boundaries and acquires the boundaries of the will of God. God possesses us and we possess God. Mutual possession. See, the saints were to know, love, and to serve God. Now it's to know, love, and possess God. Volume 7, November 28, 1906. My beloved daughter Louisa, seeing what a close union I am with you, Louisa, and how I want you, Louisa, to be completely united and clasped to me And do not think that you, Louisa, must do this only when you suffer and pray. Rather, always, always. So it's a continuous life. See, what the saints have done is they do a devotional life. You do your prayers, and then you do your work. Then you do your prayers, then you do your work. You can slip out of being in one with God. That's doing the will of God. Now it's never to be separated from God. Louisa, if you move, if you breathe, if you work, if you eat, if you sleep, everything, eat as if you were doing it in my holy humanity. See, that's why Jesus says, Louisa, you are my skin. I am reigning in you. And if your working came from me in such a way that you should be nothing but the cortex, and once the cortex of your works is broken, one should find the fruit of the divine work. And this, Louisa, you must do for the good of the whole of humanity. In such a way that my holy humanity must be present as though alive in the midst of people. You are, see, that's why I said, once the divine will starts to reign, Jesus, we're his skin. He's reigning in us. So, again, we're going to see this. Nobody possesses it yet. But when you touch a person, it'll be Jesus touching that person, healing that person. See, Jesus has said, I'm tired of the little miracles. I want great miracles. And who's he going to use? Us. Who are we? We're nothing. Who are we? We're at the bottom of the barrel. And if you've never seen what's at the bottom of a barrel, that's us. We are nothing. And why? Because there's nobody else that wants this. Everybody else is doing their own thing. Everybody else is living their own life. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners, everybody's living the way they want to. Even holy people, I'm going to do this for God. You know, have fun. I remember I told you about that one nun that I met. She says, I'm not going to believe in the divine will. I said, why? She goes, then my life has been wasted. I went, but you can have this gift. She says, I've wasted my life. I want to be somebody. I want to be someone who is holy, who is saintly, who is good. Well, God bless you. I hope you have a great life. I mean, this is divine. Like he says, God wants to see the fruit of divine work, not human work. And he's offering this to us. And so you, Louisa, must do for the good of the whole of humanity in such a way that my holy humanity must be present as though alive in the midst of people. That's why we pray the round of creation, round of redemption. With my voice, linked to Louisa, you, Jesus, hear all of mankind. What do you say in front of the Blessed Sacrament? You say to Jesus, I love you, I adore you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. Have mercy on us. Forgive us of our sins. What is God hearing? He's hearing all of mankind say that. See, this is the come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated and you will renew the face of the earth. That's what's happening. In the worst of times, God is using us to give glory to God in salvation, sanctification of souls. So he says very clearly, in fact, as you, Louisa, do everything, even the most different actions, in different actions, with this intention of receiving life, divine life from me, your actions acquire a merit of my holy humanity, because since I, Jesus, was man and God, in breathing I contain the breath of all. And the movements and actions and thoughts, I, Jesus, contain everything within myself. Therefore, I, Jesus, sanctified them. I, Jesus, divinized them. I, Jesus, repaired them. So, by doing everything in the act of receiving all of your works from me, Jesus, you, Louisa, will too come to embrace and contain all the souls, past, present, and future, within you. And your office will diffuse for the good of everyone, past, present, and future. This is the restoration of human generations. Therefore, even if the others will give me nothing, that's where everybody is, I, Jesus, will take everything from you, Louisa. That's why we want to be linked to Louisa, so that we can give God everything. That's why it's so important to know Louisa and go to Louisa. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.